Well, there are many factors to consider regarding suicide, and I think first and foremost, it's important to look at how we understand suicidal thinking and behavior. You know, suicidal thinking and actions can be both a symptom of depression and a strategy for managing depression. You know, not everybody who's depressed is suicidal, but most people who are suicidal are depressed. And people who are clinically depressed and suicidal are often experiencing significant hopelessness. And many people that I've talked to really liken this to being in a fog, where it's difficult to imagine possibilities for coping and getting to the other side of a depression or a depressive episode. And so one of the things that happens with depression is that thinking gets pretty distorted, and people start developing ideas that, just for example, that others would be better off without them, or that suicide is the only way to get relief or to communicate their suffering to others. And when I say that suicidal thinking and behaviors are a strategy for coping, what I mean is that depression and hopelessness create kind of a pressure-filled environment internally for someone who's suffering with this. And many patients talk about their suicidal thoughts and plans as like an escape valve that helps them cope with the pressure they feel to exist. And it's really obviously a dysfunctional strategy, because having that escape valve open usually causes additional emotional distress, you know, both for the person who's suffering and for people who are connected to that person. And then obviously when someone can't commit to safety, they generally feel more vulnerable. But other things to consider when we're thinking about suicide are the risk factors. Obviously the mental illness, such as depression, social isolation, having chronic pain, any substance abuse. People who have any sort of trauma history are also at a significantly higher risk for suicidal thinking and behaviors. And then importantly, any family history of suicide also increases the risk of suicide. Men are over 3 times as likely as women to complete a suicide. And in this country, 7 out of 10 suicides are completed by white men, usually middle-aged, and over half of the suicides in this country completed by guns. And so access to guns is something that needs to be assessed immediately. And then people who experience suicidal thinking or actions often just have a lot of difficulty regulating their emotions. They may be living with a real consuming sense of shame that something's inherently wrong with them or bad about them. They're often struggling with emotional intimacy in relationships and just a sense of being really disconnected from any coherent sense of self or self-worth. And I think it's also important to think about suicide on a continuum. You know, not everybody who thinks about suicide is at risk of committing suicide. People can have ideation or ideas about suicide, thoughts about suicide, with no plan or intention to move forward with that. They can have an intention with no means or knowledge for completing a suicide. No, they don't know how it would actually work. But people who are at the highest risk of suicide have more than thoughts. They often have the intention, they have a plan, and they have the means to kill themselves. And so again, that's where we want to look at things like access to guns. We want to look at access to medications that could be lethal in the context of suicidal thinking and depression. We want to look at access to a car that could take them to somewhere where they could complete a suicide. And I guess the last thing I want to say about that is that the people in the context of depression can often have what we would consider passive suicidality, meaning they may place themselves in situations where they could be harmed or killed, and that's also a major risk factor. So, and another question, it was about symptoms to watch for in someone who's depressed, and I think the main thing that I want to express there is that we want to look for changes in mood, in affect, meaning what people are showing, and changes in thinking, the distorted thinking, like I mentioned, and behaviors. But people who are really in the depths of depression often don't have the energy to complete a suicide. people who are really at imminent risk may have some new energy or maybe a change in their affect. Their affect might brighten, for example, if a plan is in place and if the depressed person sees a way out. And they may begin to, you might begin to see some more goal-directed behaviors like giving away possessions or taking care of other unfinished business. And others who are at high risk for suicide won't show those changes in mood or affect, but their behaviors change. They're more impulsive, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, the thinking's distorted, not based on reality. And then people who are always at higher risk when they're socially withdrawn and isolated. And so this is a really important and tricky thing about treating depression. You know, connection is the last thing that a lot of times people want when they're depressed, but it's the thing that's most needed.